Boom, we're on. And today's guest, we've got Big Tam Skinner. How are you?
How are you, mate? How you doing?
Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Looking forward to doing it.
How's life been, first of all?
Struggling hard.
As always.
Now, listen, it's good at the minute, mate. You know, just had a baby end of last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Loving being a dad. The firm is mental busy at the minute, which is good. You know, couldn't wish for anything more. We was lucky that through the lockdown, we just grew and we've built up and just enjoying it one step at a time. And I say every morning, but it don't matter how big the steps are you take, as long as you're in the right direction. And we're going in the right direction at the minute, mate. Oh. So it's all going well.
That's the main thing. I like that mentality. Very well, like Thomas, you've done The Apprentice, you've done MasterChef.
MasterChef, can't cook, but got to the semi-final.
Done everything. You got to the quarters and The Apprentice, yeah. Never won a task, but you got to the quarters because your personality, good guy. That takes you a long way in life, I believe, like, just 100%. Being a good person. Like, there's so many fucking idiots out there who talk a good game but don't back it up.
100%.
But I always go back to the start with my guest, brother. I get to understand Thomas, yeah. How he works, how he functions, and how you became the man you are today.
Yeah.
So let's go right back to the start, where you grew up.
I grew up in Romford. I love Romford. Romford's the centre of the universe. Best town in the world. Grew up there, lovely family. My dad is like me, ducker and diver, always had his own businesses and always had good people around him. And I bought in at a young age, I was always wanting to earn money, always wanted to buy and sell. And I started work when I was 12 years old. I used to have paper rounds all around Romford. I used to go to school tired because I'd be doing so many paper rounds, you know. I used to work in my dad's mate's barbershop. Used to work in there on Saturdays in the morning, cutting hair, sweeping up there. Like, he'd go, it's a skinhead, Tom, you can do that one. I go, lovely, boom, he's a fiver. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And used to work sitting at the market stalls as well. Used to buy and sell. Anything I could do as a kid, I used to do. Go around with a bucket and sponge with my mate Ollie, washing cars, knocking on doors, literally anything. We don't want a grass cut, I just used to love and I had a buzz for it. And it probably affected me because I'm dyslexic. So I was never, I'm intelligent, I ain't saying I'm fit because I'm not, but things I struggled with, I made up with by always being someone's mate and always getting on with people, and then people would always help you.
Yeah, gift of the gab.
That's it, yeah.
Did you have to utilise that because did you ever feel more pressure on you at school?
I was always the cheeky one that was naughty but weren't naughty. So I could get away with it. Like, I can't miss, I can't do this. And she'd go, Tom, come over here. Like, yeah. That was me. That was me. But yeah, I had a lovely upbringing. And I learned a lot as a kid. I learned how to talk to people. Like, I always look as my dad, and he always goes to me like, Tom, it ain't about what you know, it's who you know. And I've always gone out my way, like anything I do, to make sure them little manners go a long way. And I always be polite, always ask questions, always say please and thank you, always hold the door open. Always, and that has helped me in life because as a kid especially, they go, little Tom, he's all right. You know, he's a good kid. He's all right. I'll get all right. You know, like, and some of my mates say, without getting no good, I weren't interested. I was interested in making money and making friends. That was me as a kid, you know?
Mm-hmm. How did you get that mentality from your dad? Did he get it passed down from generations? That kind of sale boy mentality?
Yeah, so, like, my family's all out the East End. My granddad, Harry Skinner, like, they're just nice people. Like, and anywhere, even now, it's so nice to see, like, I can go in anywhere and I go, oh, your granddad, when he was alive, he was an absolute legend. Or, oh, your dad, what a lovely fella. And I'm trying to be the same, you know? Like, and you're always going to get someone that don't like you. Can't make everyone like you, do you know what I mean? But I just get on with people and I enjoy meeting people and talking to people. I love it.
I'm the same. I like meeting new people. I like, everything's networking. The reason I can get the caliber, I guess, is because I've got a good name, a strong name. But it's just networking. You're blagging it as well.
Well, couldn't you get anyone good this week and end up with me?
I'm getting downhill, Tommy. I'm getting downhill. But how do you feel with rejection? How do you feel when somebody doesn't like you? Because I don't really like it, but because I'm, when you meet people, everybody's always laughing and smiling and feeling good. But when you get the old asshole, but does that affect you also?
Not really.
You just not care?
Don't know me, do you? Uh-huh. Joke on. Don't matter, does it? Like, you know, you're always going to get it, aren't you? You're always going to. Like, I've found it, as I've gone through life, you always get the odd person that ain't going to like you. Yeah? And there's people that I don't like. Do you know what I mean? Is everyone's got who they like and who they don't like? So it don't affect me, to be honest. Nah, not at all. Nah.
So schooling was okay then. You kind of wind yourself through it.
Schooling was good. Went to primary school in Romford. Then I went to secondary school. Went to secondary school in Brentwood. Went to a great school. Got expelled.
Why?
Got expelled for being an entrepreneur. this is actually quite a funny story. So I remember there was a bagel shop in the High Street that everyone used to go to, but they was like £3 or £4 for a sausage, which was when you're a kid, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm doing all the paper rounds, I'm washing cars, I'm setting up market stalls, like, and I'm getting a few quid, and say getting a few quid, probably like 60 quid a week, but you know, as a kid, you're like having it off. And I remember going to my dad, here, Dad, come on, give us £5 a day, like, and he used to go like, nah, like, mate, you got to work. And my dad used to charge me £100 a week rent when I was a kid to make me learn how to, I know that sounds mad, he ended up getting it back to me. I go, Dad, I'm a bit short this week, like, I want to go and buy a new pair of trainers. But in school, now, I went to him, look, can you give us £5 a day? So, and he went, nah, like, if you want to go and do them things, you got to earn it, mate. That's the way of the world. So I went, all right. He said, but I might find something for you. So him and his mate Alan went to the pub one day and got absolutely slaughtered. And they was back at my ass in Romford. And I remember coming back and I think I had rugby training and I come back all dirty. And they went, come here, there's booze out there. He went, come here, we've got something for you. And I went, what is it? And there's a suitcase. And what's it? I've opened it up and it's full of porno and pirate DVDs. I'm a kid, and I? And I went, look at all these, wow, look at the new Harry Potter film. Like, oh, what's this? Of course, one's a bit dirty, Dad. Like, what's all it? He went, mate, what you got to do is £3, £2, £5. All your mates are going to lap it up. And I'm like, lovely. So I went to school. I whacked the old suitcase in my locker, my little JD string sports bag, knocking them out. I think I made about 200 quid in my first day doing it. I was like, this is easy, you know? Better than selling chocolate bars. And after a couple of days, paid my dad back a bit of money for the DVDs that he bought off some geezer in the pub. Was in a lunch hall with me tray. I've gone, miss, can I have the sausage casserole, please? Oh, is that jam roly poly? I left that as well, please. As I've leant over, the bag split and a selection of porno DVDs all over the floor of the lunch hall. And this teacher hated me and didn't like me. He went, what are they? I went, come on, sir, you know what they are. I looked at pornos, obviously. Straight to my office. And I was like, oh, here we go. After lunch, I see, I've gone to his office. I said, where are my DVDs, sir? Can I come back? I ain't paid with them ones yet. And he said, no, I've sent them to the headmaster. I thought, oh, here we go. So I've had to go to the headmaster's office. And I remember sitting there waiting and he's like, I'm going to have to ring your parents. I was thinking, well, ring me mum. Like, it's better for you, not for me. Ring me mum, you know? And he's ended up ringing me dad. And my dad's come down there. And it didn't go well. Wasn't a very good meeting. My dad actually said, he said, I'm just trying to teach him how to buy and sell. And teach. And the headmaster's gone, well, they're illegal, mate. Like, I can't have that in my school. He said, well, come on, he's only a kid. Like, it's my fault. I'll take the blame for him. And the headmaster's like, I'm going to have to ring the police. My dad went, oh, fuck, what's going on here? And that was it. That was my last day of school. And the next actual day, I remember going, we had a little workshop in Raynham. And I remember going and working in there. And I was putting prices on DVDs that he was selling in the sweet shops. And that was it. And then never went back to school. Never done college, never done university. Just went straight in the deep end. Started on the market, started buying and selling anything. And went from there. That was it.
How hard is that to be a constant grafter to try to turn that coin?
Well, It was hard because when I got a little bit older, when I got sort of to me like later teens, my mum and dad split up.
Did that affect you?
It did, because obviously I loved the family life. But then my mum is, if you meet my mum, she's the loveliest person you ever meet in your life. Like if she was here today, she'd go, James, what do you want a ham sandwich? She's just the nuts. She's up me world. Whereas my dad is, do you want to go pub, have a beer? Like, they're so different. So yeah. It probably was...
It's a better, right reason to
better for it, of course. But, and at the time as well, I remember, like, my dad wasn't doing very well. He was, like, was skint, really. Businesses wasn't doing well. And my mum didn't have any money. And I had no one that I could go, can I borrow any money from to buy a bit of stock? Because I wasn't old enough. I was, like, you know, I was 16, 17. So I was always working, but then I was having to, you know, I didn't have enough money to get to the next level. So it was hard, but I never went without. I never went skin. I always make a living. I was, but I was at that time, because my mum's house only had two bedrooms. It was my brother and sister upstairs and my mum, and I was on a little pull-out bed in the front room downstairs. And I didn't care, because I'd wake up in the morning and I'd go and get in my van and I'd drive to wherever and I'd sit up in a market, and whatever I had in the back of my van, I would go and pump. And I thought, well, I'll keep myself going, and eventually I'll be able to go and get my own gaff, you know? And it was hard, obviously, because there was days when you spend, say, someone goes, Tom, I've got a range of these. Right, they're going to be an absolute winner. And you got your working money, you got your $2,000, you buy your bit of stock, and you stand on three or four market stalls and you don't sell a thing, and you think, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay me? I can't even pay me. What am I going to do now? So having working money, I've learned you've got to build it up. That's essential. I've learned that through experience. This is one thing I'm pretty rambling on too much. Sorry, James.
No, that's good. That's what I like, mate. That's just what I like.
But I'll tell you one thing that actually happened to me. One of my best mates, Ben the Barber, Ben Wilson, he had a flat on North Street in Romford. And football was playing. I think it was Arsenal were playing someone. We're going out to watch it. And I had an old piece of poo van that ain't worth a monkey, yeah? And in the back of it, I had a load of jackets that I just spent my last tenner on. Everything was in there. And I parked outside the flat. We went upstairs, had a couple of beers, watching the football, having a great time. I remember going to the boys, about 10 of my pals, and there's all a couple of years older than me. I said, boys, I've got some lovely jackets in the van. Like, I'm going to go and run them up. They're only at school. Thought I'd go and nick a couple hundred quid. Went down and my van got nicked. I was like, sore. And then I remember ringing up my dad's pal, we got the van from, and I went, Steve, that van's... He went, who the fuck's going to nick that van? It's a piece of shit. But he didn't, and like it was because I never had no working capital back then. It was got to start again, you know. And I didn't, and it was just that. But well, you could keep going.
Was that always like that then, back to get into the markets and constantly try to keep your head above water?
Mate, there wasn't a commodity that I didn't sell. Like there was, I done everything.
What's the worst thing you've ever sold and you got away with it?
I don't know. Everything.
You watched like Only Fools and Horses and used to sell like dodgy tape recorders and it used to go on fire and shit.
I've had everything. I used to sell a cutlass night handbag. Like there weren't nothing I wouldn't turn an eye to. You know, I would sell everything. You know, if this was me being young and being naive when I first started out in the markets. I was naive, yeah, and I actually got nicked because I bought a parcel. So I met a geezer I was working with and he used to get fantastic lines. Got face creams here this week, I got them next week, I got this next week, I got them. And I just, lovely, boom, I take down a car boot, take down the market, take down the pub, and it was brilliant. Anyway, one day I had me bit of stock in my van. I've gone to go and sell it and police have shut the road off, put a thing out and a pulp spiker out in the road, all behind me, thought, what is going on here? I pulled out the van, thrown on the floor, locked up. I thought, what's going on here? What's happening here? And I went, mate, all that gear in your van's nicked. And I actually genuinely didn't know. I was just buying it in good faith. And I went, shut up. And that was one of the things. And I thought, and again, back to square one, got nicked for it, got dummy bits and pieces, whatever I like. But you learn, you know, and obviously I remember when I was sitting in the plate, they thought I was stupid. I went, mate, I'll be honest with you, I just bought some random kids, don't know who he is, you know what he did, you know what I mean? I was like, I have no idea, mate. I'm so sorry, I ain't gonna do it again. They just looked at me thinking, you know, mate. Then I was like, I seriously don't. They was like, so you'd buy all that stock or something? I said, mate, I do not know. Like, I just bought some random geezer at a car boot. I have no idea. And yeah, that was my first little naughty experience, whatever. I suppose.
See, when you're down the market, do you get pulled with the coppers? We've got a place in Glasgow called The Barras. People used to sell the DVDs and all the fake clobber, and it was fine. But then, over the last 5 years, 10 years, places have been getting shut down as coppers constantly on the lookout. I mean, like,
everyone loves to go to market and get a deal. Like, have you ever got a little snide Ralph Lauren shirt, or have you got a little Prada shorts?
I still do it. Yeah, I'm doing well and I still do it.
Of course, everyone, you know, likes a bargain. And I did just sell a bit of snide in the market. And that was before I started actually doing my own businesses. But it was anything I could get my hands on, I sold. And I was good at it. I was really good at it. But my problem has always been, not now, but back then, was I've got a terrible addiction to knocking out money. Like, I could earn 10 grand in a week and I could spend 12. I was just, I just love the good life. But yet again, I've got a very good talent. I can get money just as easy. So, but that was the problem with me when I was younger was I'd have a market on a Sunday and I'd go and earn myself a grand. I think, fantastic, wow. But then I'd be up the Mayfair, up the West End or something, like an idiot, buying bottles of champagne when really I didn't have the money to do it, just like a div, you know what I mean? But it taught me that Monday morning, wake up with a little hangover, skint, no readies, I've got to go and earn some more. And that made me hungry because I'd be up there with all these city brokers and all these big players and I'd be like, I want to be like them. But I'd always hold my own. If they bought a bottle of champagne, I'd buy a bottle of champagne. But I wanted to be that lifestyle. And it made me so hungry to earn money as a kid, like so hungry. Because I just love the grind. I love doing deals. And one of the things I've always done, and anyone who knows me can tell you this, anything I sell, I'm all about the people. Like, so for example, now, I'm just going to fast forward to now. Like, when I started my mattress business, I literally bought 5 of the highest priced, best spec mattresses on the market. I took them to a manufacturer, we cut them open, we looked what was in them, and I said, how much it cost to make them? And they was like 2, 3, 4 grand. And they was going, about 250 quid. And I was thinking, well, how can these firms charge 2, 3, 4 grand, yet they're having people over? So that is what I'm like. I like doing everyone a deal. And I've always sold my products as I've done that. And even back in the day, it was, don't go in a shop and pay 90 quid for that T-shirt. You can have it for a score it a day. And that's how I've always worked, you know? And I've always worked. That's me. That is me. Give everyone a good deal.
Yeah, that's the best way, though. But I think the bubbly personality is a big win as well. Like, people are drawn by energy. You've got a good energy, so people are going to buy into what you say. Like, if you're selling me a mattress and now, mate, I'd probably fucking buy it.
We'll have one in here in a minute. Don't worry about that.
Do you know what I mean? But you go to these kitchen places, people are buying kitchens and not getting them for 3-4 months. These places don't even have the kitchens.
No.
They're paying for them up front. It's disgusting. And then they're ordering that, whatever the fuck they're ordering, and bringing it back and then giving it, they're making fortunes,
James,
off people.
It's an absolute liberty. Like, you don't realise that all these big firms, they take your money up front. Yeah. They haven't got your stock. They're going to make your stock, yeah? Like, they make you wait 6 to 8 weeks. I physically hold the stock. So if you rung me out and went, Tom, I need a super king size mattress, I've got 500 or 600 pounds to spend, I'll go, well, look, there's one for 6.5. It costs you 3.5 grand. Same spec, same thing, made by me with a guarantee. Where'd you live? Oh, you're up in Glasgow? You have it there on Thursday this week. They'll be like, how'd you do it? It's because we're hungry. I've got a team around me of all my friends, and they're all my friends when it works with me, and we just get the job done and we have fun doing it.
That's the best way. That's the best way. Did you have many friends in your younger years? Teenage years, or were you constantly on the graft?
I've always been, Tommy, get you anything. That was me.
Yeah, people pleaser?
No, I actually ain't. If I don't like something, I will tell you. Like, yeah. That's me, yeah. Mm-hmm. I will tell you.
How, see, when your mum and dad, the relationship broke up, did you feel more pressure on you to earn more income?
Yeah, obviously, because 100%, you know, I couldn't go, Dad, lends a 50 quid, or, you know, Mum, you ain't got a score, you know what I mean? But I was young then. Obviously, by the time I sort of got to my late teens, my early 20s, I was on my own 2 feet. I was all right, you know?
Do you work better under pressure?
100%.
Why is that?
I don't know what it is. I love pressure. I don't know why. I just, I'll tell you an example that happened this week. Geezer's ordered for a hotel. He's ordered 80-something mattresses, 86 mattresses. I spoke to my manufacturer, they can only physically get me 70. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And I've run around to other manufacturers, and they're like, well, Tom, we're doing things for Dunham, we're doing things for, come on. Like, and it's just I just get a buzz out of it. I just enjoy it. I don't know what it is. I hate letting people down. I hate it.
Is that when you feel alive?
I don't know, I'm always alive, aren't I? I'm just mad, aren't I?
Just a good thing to fucking have, though. Isn't that? Was there ever a time you felt changing career paths? If it got on
top?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, when I was younger, I did. Do you know what? When I was like early 20s, I was fed up of never having enough. Always like, and people go, Tom, but you do well. And I go, yeah, but I weren't never going to get rich. I was good time Tommy. I was going to get a couple of grand a week and go and knock it out a weekend. Like, don't, like, I did really. Like, I was champagne on lemonade money. That was me. I remember sitting down myself thinking, I can't continue my life like this because I eventually want a family. I want, I want a nice house, I want nice cars, I want a business, I want a bit of structure. There was never no structure back in the day. And that actually started to come, funny enough, when I met my lovely missus, Sinead. Because when I met her, and I, this is like mid-20s now, I'm skipping forward all year, sorry, James.
That's okay, brother. That's okay. Just wing it, mate, just what we do in life.
When I met Sinead, if you met Sinead, she's beautiful, lovely girl, love her piece. She's fantastic, yeah, and really good for me. Because the day I met her, I was actually in the City of London, being Charlie Big Potatoes with no dough. I had £1,000 to my name. That was me. That was my whole entire bankroll, and it was in my pocket there. Yeah, and I walked into a bar called Happenstance in St. Paul's, and she was in there. Gosh, she's beautiful. And there's all these bankers in there, and I was looking at the party, had a little tie on, thought I was a governor. I don't even know what I was doing up there. and I remember she was with a mate of hers, and they were trying to get a drink in the bar, and there was all these bankers in there, and I went, you two, get away from them helmets, come over here, come on. And they was like, who the fuck's this helmet? can I buy you a drink? And I'll give it large. What do you do? I went, big time marketer, didn't I? Got all the stalls down here and doing all this, and they're thinking, who's this idiot? And I'm thinking, who is this? Like, when I think back, I think, what a donut. And I remember we ended up having a drink, and I spent my whole entire grand, right, on that day, on that night with her. We was in the Sushi Samba, we was in Little Italy, and so we was drinking pink champagne in the Wardour Street. Come to the end of the night, I've got her in a cab, I thought, pulled this. She went, you ain't coming on me. Like, for fuck's sake.
Grand down.
dropped her off in Finsbury Park, North London, to her mum and dad's house. Went back home, and I remember going to the cab, I went, mate, I don't think I've got enough of this fare. Like, just knocked on me a bit of dough, and he was laughing. I went, mate, I promise you I'll get you. And I did, and the next day, I brought a bit of dough for mate, paid the cab driver. And I remember this van, it was my worst van, it was a Fiat, one of them big, I can't remember what it was called, a huge Fiat van, massive old, like a Sprinter, but worse. And the windscreen wipers didn't work on it. And she texted me in the morning saying, thank you for a fantastic night, really enjoyed myself, like it was brilliant. She went, what are you doing later on tonight? And I went, well, with me and you go out, eh? And she went, yeah, well, like, what do you want to do? I went, we'll go cinema, I think somewhere cheap, got no money left. So I remember that day, I remember running about in my old van. I went down a pub called the New Inn in Gideon Park, knocked out some T-shirts so I had 100 quid to go out, which is embarrassing, isn't it, really? So I got and picked her up in this old spunky old van with Rustos. And she, obviously, last time I'm giving it all Charlie Big Potatoes, she looked at this van and she went, I ain't getting in there. all bits and pieces in the back, and we've gone to the cinema. I've ended up churning all the pick and mix. Lay your back, what you want? sitting in the thing, and we had a watch the cinema. I went in to I think it was Frankie and Benny's afterwards. Had a bit of dinner, dropped her home, and I fell in love with her. And then we went on loads of different dates, and it was after we was like courting, going out for a little while, and I remember she went, do you want to go on holiday? And I was like, yeah, how much is holiday? Because I hadn't really been on holiday. I hadn't been away. I hadn't been on holiday since I was a kid with mum and dad. So I was like, how much holiday? She was like, oh, about £2,500. I was thinking, fuck, I ain't got £2,500. And that was actually when I thought, right, that's it now. No more fucking about. And no, sorry if I keep swearing.
That's okay.
But no more winging your life, and no more nicking a bit of money and going out. Let's get yourself sorted. And do you know what I actually done? This is how I started where I am now, is I bought myself a Tempur pillow, and it was 90 quid. Yeah, because I was having problem, because I'm quite big, I was having problem when I lay on the pillows, like sinking into it, and I bought this bed, and it cost me 90 quid. And I remember, and I wouldn't shut up about it with my mate, so I went, oh, this pillow cost me 90 quid, but it's the best pillow I've ever had. And they was all like, Thomas, a pillow you're on me, and I'm going about. So I've then got this pillow, done exactly what I've always done. Found a manufacturer up north in Yorkshire. We cut it open together. I said, how much that cost to make? And he told me about £8 or £9. A geezer I've worked called Mark, lovely bloke, who always helped me for my life. I said, Mark, you're going to have to chuck up 10 grand for this. Like, we're going to have to start doing this pillow job. Tommy went, you're about as reliable as a sieve, mate. Like, you ain't having 10 grand. He said, but I'll do it with you. And he helped me buy my first lot of pillars. And I bought them, sold them, bought. Next thing you know, I'm doing these pillars. And I thought, I'm having a right good go here. Like, and then I had a little round. I had about 30 or 40 shops that everywhere I go and drop 20 pillars off. And they was taking them on wholesale. I was standing in the market selling me pillars. And they was working, and I had my own little brand. It was called the Fluffy Pillar Company. And I'm doing these little, and I'm, then I got a second bit, and I started doing bed sheets. And I thought, hang on a minute, I've got a business here. And this was right before I went on apprenticeship about 3 years ago. And I thought, wow, but I said, I never had enough money to get to the next stage. So I was, but I wasn't ironing it out now. I was tucking it away, buying more pillars, And Sinead, bless her, loves The Apprentice. Now, I actually, I know it's going to sound mad, didn't watch The Apprentice. Didn't really, I knew what it was. Obviously, I know Lord Sugar is, but I didn't really watch The Apprentice. It wasn't one of my, because I don't watch telly. So it's come up on the TV, it says like, and I'm sitting in the room, and it says like, if you would like to become a candidate for The Apprentice, all you got to do is fill out this form and da-da-da. Now, I'm dyslexic, so forms to me ain't no good, yeah? Mm. So she's gone, you've got to reply to that. You're much better than all these donuts on here. And I said, no, I ain't going to do that. They ain't going to have me on there, are they? And she went, no, Tom, you've got to do it. I went, oh, shut up, Sinead. I ain't going on that. Anyway, she's filled out the form, sent it off, nothing's happened. And about 6 weeks later, she's gone, there, Tom, they've only emailed back saying they want you to come in for an interview. I said, oh, babe, I ain't doing that. Like, come on. Like, we're laughing about it. I've been sitting snide gear in the market for years. Like, they ain't going to want me. She went, no, but your pillows, Tom. Your pillows, you're doing well. Like, that little sugar, it comes from market background. You've got to go and do it. So I thought, when is it? She's like, it's on so-and-so. And I thought, wow, that's a Friday, babe. Like, that's my dog out the boys. She's like, just for me, go and do it. So I went, all right, I'll go and do it. So I used to be quite scruffy. Timberland boots, pair of jeans, a polo. That's me. That's my outfit. In the summer, pair of Rafa and swimming shorts and a polo and a pair of Reebok Classics. There's two looks for Tommy. That's it, right? Scruffy as you like. Yeah. And I've gone down and I was wearing a Timberland boots. So I think I put a pair of chinos on and a smarter polo. And I've walked into this place up the West End. It was just off the back of Oxford Street where they did interviews. And there is untold amount of people all wearing three-piece immaculate suits, all with briefcases and file of faxes. And I thought, what? And I've gone in there and I just started talking to people. So what do you do? Like, and I'm just having a chat and I'm laughing with everyone. And there was like a big circle and there was like this roof, office, but it was all glass. And I kept noticing people looking down. But now I've got a little audience and I've got about 20 people and I'm having a laugh with them, having a joke with them. And I'm going, mate, he ain't going to argue. Look at the state of your suit, and I'm just taking the piss out, but having a right good crack. And then they've called us into a room, and they give you a number, 1 to, I think it was 40, or 1 to, whatever it was, it's 40 you stand, and I remember walking in there, and in front of me was number 13. That's my unlucky number. I'm right superstitious. And number 6 is my lucky number. So I've gone, oh, it's 6. Come on, me and you are swapping. One of these geezer went, no, come on, mate, do me a turn. He went, oh, and someone, I like 13, I've swapped with someone else. And then as I've swapped, my number, whatever it was, I can't remember what it was now, they've picked me first. And they've gone like, right, you've got 30 or 25 seconds to tell us everyone a bit about yourself and why Lord Sugar should be your business partner. And I've gone, right, hello, everyone. Got some lovely suits in it today. My name's Tommy Skinner. I know how to earn a few quid. Lord Sugar be mad, not to hire me. And then stood back down again. And I thought, oh, fuck this. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then they've gone like number 24. And they've gone, oh, hello, I'm John Smith. I'm an senior executive at HSBC Bank and I can do it. And I'm thinking, oh, mate, I'm well out of my depth, yeah? Then they're doing someone else. And then I've done all the numbers. And they've gone, right, well done, everyone. Number, boom, which is me, boom. Can you please step out of the room? I thought, oh, well, nice to meet you all. I thought, that's me out. They're going to the next stage. Walked out, me and this other geezer, and they've gone, well done, you two have made it to the next round. I thought, are you winding me up? Right? They've gone, no. They've got to go and lift up to the next level. I went, all right, lovely. I'll go up to the next level. So I got to the lift and I talked to this other geezer, and he was a right nice bloke, this geezer. He was a car salesman, and he had the chat, but he was like, he was good. And he went, so what do you, and I went, mate, be honest with you, I sell pillars. He went, pillars? I mean, that's what I do, mate. I sell, you know, fluffy pillars. That's what I sell on the markets. He went, oh, you ain't got no chance, mate. Yeah? And what do you do? When I sell high-end luxury cars. I went, all right, mate.
Yeah, wanker.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah. And we've gone to the next, he's probably going to watch us and think, that was me, yeah. And then we've gone to the next level and there's a couple of desks and you sit there and you talk to this, I think it's a producer for the show. how me and you are now, and they ask you a series of questions. How would you deal with fame? And I went, I'm already famous, love, in Romford. Everyone knows me. And she started laughing, and she went, do you think you're good at it? I mean, I'm the best. Yeah, and I'm having a laugh. And she went, you are funny. And then she goes, but do you want to be on TV? And she went, there's a right answer and a wrong answer. And everyone, I could hear them all going, no, I don't want to be on TV. I'm here to be a business partner, Lord Sugars. And I went, well, of course I'm here to be on TV. Why would I not be here? Like, I'd love to be on TV. I think it only appears I see if I was on TV. And she started laughing, and she went upstairs. I went, oh, I've made it through again, have I? And I've gone up now, you're in a little room. You're in a little room now, and there's about 10 people or 12 people, and they're all, and they are all immaculate, to be fair. And they went, right, you're going to get grilled now. There's two rooms, and these are Lord Sugar's business advisors, and actually are. And you, and they're going to question you about your business and why you should get the £250,000 for your business. I thought, let's go, easy. And I didn't have a clue. I just winged it. Like, I've winged my whole life. And I got in this first room, and the geezer started going to me, so what do you do? And I went, well, I sell pillars. I said, well, I make them in the UK, mate. We're UK manufacturer, use the best materials. We sell the premium, top quality pillars at discounted prices. Like a market. Well, he went, well, people want high-end ones. I went, mate, if a white company one was 90 quid and something together for a school, would you buy it? He went, yeah. I went, exactly, that's what I do. He went, I didn't know what to say. Then he went, I think you should import them from China. And I said, but my whole business is about supporting UK firms, mate. And I said, I don't want cheap to it. I want quality at discounted prices. Well, your margins ain't big enough. Well, listen, mate, it's enough for me, so I'm happy. But you know, I'm making a profit now, mate. And then he says that, and I went, mate, I went, how many pillars do you sell? He went, none. I went, well, then leave the pillars. I went, leave the pillars to me, mate. Yeah? And he just did what I say. He was having a laugh. Then we've gone to another room, and the bird went, I'm not even going to bother interviewing you. She just went like, she went, I've seen you. She went, I was up there looking out the glass. Because I see you, everyone around you talking. She went, we really like you. I went, oh, fantastic. Tell us a bit about you. So now I just tell them a bit about myself and this, that, and the other. A little bit like what I'm doing with you now. And she went, fantastic, we'll be in touch. Well, what do you mean you'll be in touch? Have I got the job or not? And she said, we'll be in touch, don't worry. Go on, off you go. So I've left there and met up with Sinead. We went out in Finsbury Park. Had a few drinks, had a bit of food. She went, how'd it go? I went, yeah, really, I think I got it. I don't want, I'll be honest, I ain't got a clue. And I waited a couple of weeks, nothing happened. Then I get a phone call. Tom, you've been selected as the final 50 or 45 or whatever it is. This is where Lord Sugar actually watches it and picks who he wants on the show. Oh no, I better go and buy a suit then. Because I didn't have a suit. I only had my black funeral suit. That was a funeral and when that was it. Like I didn't have a suit. And I went and bought myself a suit, bought a navy blue suit, and we had to come back in a couple of weeks. And now you're in a room with all these people who are, there's one in London, one in like Manchester, one in Ireland, one in Scotland, and they pick from each their four that are going to go into the actual house. And there's a series of tasks you've got to do, James. Now, I really enjoyed it because I just had a laugh. There was, first one, they go, right, can you stand, you don't, never spoke to anyone there, can you, all these people, you can't talk, but we want you to number yourselves between one being the ugliest and 40 being the best looking. And I thought, what the fuck? All right. So I've just straight away, I went straight to the number one, the ugliest boy in the room, yeah, as a I just thought it'd be funny. There's people arguing over who's the best looking. And I thought, what are they doing? Like, yeah. And I was thinking, some of these are right munters. Like. and then they've gone like, can you line yourself up in intelligence? Again, I just went straight to the one. They're all arguing over who's the most intelligent in the room. But I'm actually laughing. I'm actually laughing my head off. Like, I'm going, what the fuck? Like, yeah. And then they've gone, right, can you line yourselves up, one being the least successful and up there for the most successful? I done just went straight to the one, and I'm like, and the camera's like, like that, yeah? And the geezer's like, on the camera just laughing his head off. He's just like, because I'm just taking a piss. And then they've gone, well done. Now all line up. Now you've got 20 seconds to sell something to our producer in front of the camera. And this is where I knew I'd smash it. And they've got up and they've gone, right, you come forward. And they've gone, right, there's a box, right, there we go, tissue. Right, sell me this tissue. And this woman's gone, This tissue is the finest quality tissue in the UK. Was £1,000 million. Now it's 20p. Like, I was like, well, she ain't getting it. And they've got the some geezer who's gone out and had an umbrella, pulled an umbrella up. And they've gone, he's gone, this umbrella's limited edition. And he's opened it up in the room. I went, that's unlucky. Like, then they all started laughing. And he's like, oh, and they give him back. And I thought, what? Then they've gone to someone else and had a pen. And they've gone, sell the pen. He's gone, this pen makes your handwriting better. And I thought, fucking hell, like, these ain't got no clue. Like, then they've gone to me and the bird's pulled out a boot. The woman's pulled out a boot and it's a boot. Like, and she's, this is, I've always sold this. She's gone, put the boot in my hand. And she's gone, Tom, sell me this boat. And I went, what, this old boat here? She's gone, sell, and you're on camera. She's gone, sell me this boat. And I'm going to do it to you. That's the boat. I've put it in her house. I said, how much would you pay for that boat? And she went, I don't know, £1. And I went, sold.
Easy as that.
And they just all started going like that. And then after that, because apparently Lord Sugar's watching this. I don't know if he's here, he ain't, but he probably is, knowing him. He's a nice bloke, by the way. And thank you, mate. Got dry mouth talking.
Yeah, Dana.
And then you've got to do a task where you've got to build a bit of furniture and everyone's arguing. And we didn't even build it, like, collapsed. And I was a project manager and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I here? Like, I was just laughing. And then we went home that night. Waited, didn't thought I'd get it. Got a phone call from one of the producers, and because I've told all my mates I'd done it, they was all prank calling me at the time, going, hey, Tom, it's fucking, it's Vicky from BBC, yeah. You got a job? And I'm going, oh, fuck off, like, bizarre. But anyway, phone, and I was sitting at my mum's house, I was making myself, because I don't stop, I was making myself a sandwich, and I'll never forget, his phone rings, withheld number. Hi, Thomas, it's so and so at the BBC, just letting you know that you've made the final casting. Fuck off, mate.
You think it was a prank?
And I thought, hang on a minute. No one's rung me back or texted me going, ah, I got ya. Phone rings again. Hi, Tom, we got to cut off. Oh, mate, I am so sorry. He went, I didn't hear it. Like, obviously did. I think, oh, no. And then I had to go back and they picked me for the final casting, which was, like, unbelievable. And first thing I done was went down to Westfields at Stratford, got myself a cut of suits, got myself a cut of tyres. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I was on The Apprentice.
Because from all the apprentices, you're probably the most well-liked character that's ever been on it, which is a phenomenal achievement. But
everyone hates him on it,
yeah,
don't they?
Some of them are snooty bastards, and you go, I fucking hate that bastard. But did they ever try and make you feel out of place or anything? As if they were better than you? Like?
No, I remember like when you first go on The Apprentice, yeah, like they say to you, you sign an NDA, you cannot tell anyone what you are doing. So I only told like half a dozen people.
Everyone in Romford.
Yeah, like, they was all going, shut up, you helmet. You ain't, I went, mate, I'm going on The Apprentice. They're going, never in a million years are you going on The Apprentice. Well, no, I am, I'm going on it. I'm actually going next week. You ain't going to see me for a few weeks. One of my best pals, Big Lanks, they've seen Big Lanks. He's like 7 foot tall, covered in tattoos. Looks like the scariest. How scary is he to look at? Right? Yeah. But he's lovely, my best mate. He told everyone, because I was away for 7 weeks filming it, he told everyone that I'd been nicked and was in jail. So when I got out of filming, everyone started going, oh, Tommy's a tour, mate. How'd you get on? I've been filming The Apprentice, and I believe me.
That's fucking mad, isn't it?
But, I went in there. They take you, as you go up there, they pick you up in the cabin in the morning, you give them all your suits, your suitcase, they take your phone off you, and they say, you have got no contact with the outside world until you get fired. And I was like, whoa, okay. They put you in the boardroom the very first day. You go straight into the boardroom. You don't talk to anyone else there. You sit and they go, you sit there, you sit there, you sit there. And I'm looking around this room and I'll never forget. I'm thinking, this is all a bit weird now. Mm. And I'm looking at everyone's shoes because you can tell a man by their shoes, can't you? And I'm thinking, pony shoes that geezer, like, you know, just having just
judgmental bastards.
and I'm having a lot of giggle to myself, yeah, thinking, oh, what's going on here? Karen Brady turns up, Claude Littner turns up, there's more cameras than we got here today all over here, there's mics on ya, and all of a sudden Lord Sugar walks in and he just starts ripping everyone. He said, everyone's because I mean, my business plan was literally one page. I'm not even lying, Joe. It was one page. It was like, sell pillars. I could do with more money to buy more pillars and sell more pillars. That was literally, I'm not joking, you know, that was literally it. Because paperwork, I don't do, I can't do. Like anyone, you ask everyone that works for me, I can't do paperwork. I'm just terrible at it. So I did feel like I'm out of my depth here now, because now I'm on the show, I ain't got a clue what to do. Like, I ain't a TV person. I've never been on TV before. I've never really run my own business. I've always been a duckman, but I've never had a job in my life. So I don't know what it's like to be in an office and deal and work. I've always worked with me scallywag mates my whole life. I don't really know where I'm at here. And he come in and he started slating everyone. What's your name? You call yourself the Falcon? Oh, well, you shout, like, and you started ripping everyone. And I'm laughing, yeah? And he's like, why are you laughing? I'm like, it's funny, everyone's all serious. He went, but he sort of looked at me and he thought, what's this geezer about? Like, because I'm just cracking up. And he went, Tom, you've said that you're quite jammy. Are you a donut? I said, well, Lord Sugar, I'm not being funny. I probably am, mate. Like, I'm sure you love donuts. I'm just having a, I had a bit of banter with him off the cusp, like straight away. Was everyone's like sort of started going, I'm the best. I've never said, I'm not the best. I'm good at selling, but I ain't good at all anything else. So I never said I was. And I think he quite liked that from the start. And then he proper shit me up because I'm scared of flying. The first thing he actually said was, right, guys, you're the Series 15 apprentice candidates. Good luck. One of you will be my business partner. In the next 3 hours, you're getting on a plane to South Africa. I went, what? What? I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'll poo myself because I hate flying. Got out there and there's a lovely lady, like, because everyone gets a, there's between five people, you're looked after by one person. Not to say looked after, they were like, is everything all right? Do you want a bottle of water? Like, them's lovely, yeah. Loveliest people ever meet. And I went, have I got to get on a plane? Is that, are we actually going to go to Africa or is that like just for the TV? No, tell me, we're going to the airport now. What? He's like, yeah, you've got to take your suit off now, put a tracksuit on, we're going to get in a car and we're going to get on a plane. Oh, yeah, but I can't fly. You know, I'm shit scared of flying. Well, you go home then. Well, I don't know. Well, okay. So I got on the plane. I've done it. And I'm honestly most scared of my life. Like, I cannot fly on a plane. Got on there. You can't drink. You got no fun. So I can't even, like, ring Shalane and go, Mum, poo myself. Well, you can't talk to anyone. So I got to there. They took all your money off you, everything. So I've got to the airport. I've managed to slip off. Don't know how I've done it. Got a bottle of wine and I've done a bottle of wine at the airport. then I've got onto the plane and it was a British Airways plane that come from the trolley, all the drinks are free and they, but everyone else is asleep. It's a night flight. Everyone else is asleep. Apart from like a couple of camera guys who are all my friends now. I've got a bottle of wine. They're like, we're not allowed to serve you. I'm like, please, I can't sleep, please. Like, having a lot. And I've gone, all right. I'm necking these bottles of wine. Now I've made friends around the plane. Now I'm walking up. I'm in the first class talking to people. I'm up the back talking to people at the back of the plane. Like, I'm pissed out of my head. Also, they've gone, within 1 hour, we'll be landing in Cape Town, South Africa. I'm like, fuck. Everyone's been asleep for 9 hours. They've all woken up. Oh, we're coming to land. How did everyone sleep? I'm like, sweet!
Stephen.
As we've landed, I'm boozed out of my head. They start filming a tar straight away. You land, change clothes. So for the first task, I'm pissed. I didn't even know what was going on. I just really, really enjoyed it. Like, it was just a life-changing experience, James. Like to go from, boy, just knocking out bits in the market to then being on this big TV show, I was like, what is going on? But it was so much fun and I learned so much and I made so many friends on there. Like, it weren't just the candidates you was with, it's the runners on the show, the cameramen, the sound guys, the producers, the script, everyone. Like, I was just chatting with them all the time, having a laugh. And I just took it as like an I can't explain to you. It was just one of the best things I've ever done in my life. And I just loved it. Every single minute of it, I loved it. And that's why, I don't know if you watched it, but everyone else is slagging everyone off on it. I've never done it once. I was just enjoying it and saying, I'm grateful to be here. I'm so, they go, well, Tom, you got to say something back. I was like, yeah, but I can't. He's, what a nice bloke he is. Like, no, I ain't going to slag him. I think he ain't done nothing wrong to me.
Do you think they were trying a bit too hard, some of those people, just to try and
please? Of course, yeah, of course. I mean...
See, that's the thing about life. No matter how much money you've got, some of these people, they're not just saying those people, but some people, even in London, like Scotland, Glasgow, when I go hill walks, everybody's good morning, hello. Down here, you can't say hello to anybody. You feel as if you just took a shit in a fucking kettle. Like, people are just caught up in that race where they're just constantly working to pay bills but forgetting to actually live.
Yeah, no, I've always been like that. Like, I mean, there are people that are, there's people like that everywhere, isn't there? But I'll tell you one thing that changed it for me on that show was towards the end of it, and there's not many people left, we'd done a task and we were on a train and we had to run an event, this big event on this train, and we got to sell tickets for it. And then at the end, the person that made the most money wins. It says the A team and the B team, I was in the B team, I can't remember what the teams were called, but I'm in one of the teams, and we're on this train and we had a lovely day. Like, we've driven all the way around London, this old fantastic steam train, we've served them up food, and like part of the I've had to buy the booze, buy the food, that was all part of the task. It was beautiful, like, and everyone was moaning about it. Oh, we've got to get up at 3 a.m. I was like, oh, I love it, like, I'm used to getting up markets. And we're on this train, and I had a fantastic day, and I was stuck with Pamela, one of the girls in the group, and she's an absolute blind, she's got a cosmetics company, done really well for herself, like, had a and like, there's me, knocks out caterpillars on the market on a Sunday morning, and then with all these proper business people. It's gone to the boardroom, and one of Pamela's jobs was to pick the allergies in the food, but she forgot to do it. But this girl, like, I knew she had a proper business plan, yeah, and she was such a blinder, and I could tell that she knew what she's doing. So it's gone to the boardroom, and there's a geezer called Ryan Mark, and he had to pick two people to bring back, so one of them's going to get fired. So he's picked this girl called Mary Ann and that Pamela. When I looked over and I thought, we can't pick that Pamela. She's got a proper business. Like, she can do well. And like, she might get knocked out because it was her fault. She's done the allergy wrong. So I've gone, right, Mark, mate, you can't take her. Like, this has never happened in the history of apprentice. I said, mate, you cannot take her back to the boardroom. No, it ain't happening. I'll go. Like, I'm taking her. Everyone's like, what? They've gone, stop filming. They've gone, this has never happened. What do we do? Like, no one's ever just asked to go back in the room to get fired. I said, well, no, I'm not having her go in there. Like, she's a blinder. Like, she's got a proper business and she's done nothing wrong. And they're like, well, okay. Like, well, the producers are like, Lord, she went to run with it. So they've started filming again. Lord, she's going, you sure? You do know what this means, Tom? Look, you could get fired. I said, mate, I'm not letting her go back in there. Like, she ain't, she's, mate, she, I went, she, come on, she's like, she's got to keep. Like, she's the one, like, she's brilliant. And he's like, all right. Thomas and Mary Ann and Ryan Mark, you're back in the ball and one of you's getting fired tonight. And Pamela's gone off, yeah? And she's like, oh my God, thank you, Tom, so much. But start crying. I went, don't worry, I'll be back in the house in a minute, don't worry. What happens is, when you get fired, yeah, they film a shot of you leaving wearing a coat. But me being me, left me coat in the ass. So Pamela's now in the cab back from the ballroom to the house you live in. But the team have rung the cab and said, Tom's like, can you please bring Tom's coat back? Yeah. But now Pamela thinks I've been fired, right? Because she thinks it's my coat going back because I'm going home. But it's because I forgot to wear it for the filming shot. So now she said, when I spoke, she's like, Tom, I'm crying the whole way back. Like, she's like, oh God, like, I've just got Tom fired. And so she's gone back to the house, now told everyone that I've been fired. Anyway, I've gone in the ballroom and Lucia's gone to me, he's winked to me, he's gone like, oh, well, you can't fire me now, can you? Like, because he can't, can he? Do you know what I mean? He's fired that Ryan Mark and he's like, he went, that's brave what you've done, like, I like that. And we're having a joke about it. Gone back in the cab, gone back to the house, and as they opened the door, that Mary Ann's walked in on her own, because I said, oh, wait, and they've all gone, oh, like, where's Tom? And then I've walked behind, whee! And I've gone, whee! Cheering. And it's on camera. I I'm like, John Gotti, you can't get me. Like that. And everyone started pissing themselves laughing. And it was just, it was a blinder, you know? Yeah. It was an absolute blinder.
How was that then from the kids from the markets, Romford, to then getting a bit of publicity and becoming a household name from that show? Does that come a lot of pressure from that as well?
Mate, now, when the show come on the telly, I never thought that I would be that well-liked. I was actually panicking, thinking, oh, everyone's gonna think, who's this white boy from Romford? Like, who's this cocky little fella? Like, and I was a little bit nervous, and it came out in the papers. The front page of Sun was like, Lord Sugar's ex-criminal or something. Like, it was like, I ain't a criminal,
fucked
you know?
You over.
Yeah, I'm far from it. You know, like, I've done a couple of bits. I've had a lot of fights when I was a kid. Like, and I sold a bit of Nick gear and a couple of bits and pieces. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't no criminal, right? But I've seriously turned my life around. Seriously turned my life around. And I was like, oh, they're all going to write. And then Pete was writing, ooh, like, you know, like all the little trolls, like giving it before even the show started. And I was like, oh, I think I've done a wrong in here. He said, don't worry. I went, no, I think I've done it wrong. Everyone's going to rank me, you know? And it come on, and it was mad. It was actually, I can't explain to you, James, how mad it was, mate. Like, I would leave my ass, go to Lakeside, I'd go and get a pair of trainers, and I would get mobbed with people, like mobbed, like people going, Tommy, you're an apprentice. Grandma, Tommy the Talking Turtle. Like, it was just mental. And then I thought, right, I better do something about the firm. So I made sure that the website, made sure the manufacturer really start doing the pillars. And then literally after the second or third show, order. It just snowballed. And then to the fact where the manufacturer said, mate, like we supply like TK Maxx and like some big firms here, you sold more pillars than I have. Like, this is serious. And I'm like, what do I do? Like, they're like, well, you need to get like, and it was, then I was ringing up my pals. What are you doing? Well, nothing. Come on, come work with me. Like, mate, what are you up to? Come on, come work with me. Like, next thing you know, I had all my pals who needed to do something, you know, because they was all going to end up getting nicked. Like, they weren't doing anything. And then they come working with me. And then we just started having it. Like, and then we started having fun, like some serious fun. Like, we was knocking out 700-800 pillars a day online. We was on the markets. We was getting invites to restaurants. Like, and I'd always pay. So like, even though it's going, come down, I was going, I ain't getting it free, I'm paying. I'll bring all my mates to me. And we just had the best time for months. And then we started expanding. And then I expanded. And then I really, so all the money I'd earned, and I'd earned a right few quid now, and it's more money than I've ever earned in my life. I honestly, some serious money. Then I've got the big warehouse, then I've got the office, then I've got everything. Lockdown, COVID, bang, dead, manufacturer's shut, manufacturer's gone skin. It was like, what'd I do? Oh no, like, I spent all that money, like, invested it all into doing it properly, and I'd bought myself a silly watch, and I ended up having to sell the watch, and all my mates and everyone that was working for me, we didn't work for like 8 weeks for the start of lockdown. I kept everyone in full pay. It was skinting me out because I'd spent all the money on doing the firm. Then I managed to get out of it, get rid of it. And then the pillars sort of stopped. And we was a bit stuck because the manufacturers would not work through the, because it was, no one was, everyone was unsure about pillars. But the manufacturer done the mattresses, he was still going. And I went and see him and I said, look, like, you know what sort of numbers I can do? I said, I want to start doing the mattresses. And I went and got four of the best mattresses. I went and had them cut open. We went and made our mattresses better. And me and my pal Big Lang sat in a van just taking orders off of Twitter and Instagram. And the power of social media is unbelievable. Like, we was driving to the end's earth to drop mattresses off, to go and nick 50 quid a mattress, but we didn't care. We was doing 40, 50, 60. It was mental every single day. And we built it. And we just, now we've got a company that sells the top quality mattresses at prices that people can afford, because I believe that everyone should be able to afford the quality.
Where can people buy these mattresses?
Come to boshbeds.com.
Boshbeds, boom.
Boshbeds.com, or go message me. We've got a team that works just on social media now. We've got Dom, Keegan, we've got everyone in the office, little top, loads of them.
How many people's in your team?
There's 9 in total.
That's amazing. All from the back of the show, it's kind of enhanced your life and other people's lives around you. You've utilised it to your advantage.
Brilliant, yeah.
See, when you first met your missus as well, when you were the blagger and just winging it and telling the lies, and because I used to play for Hibs under 18s, I used to tell all the birds I played first team, like I was a pure bullshitter. But how much does that change up? Did you have to change your whole personality and whole outlook?
I've never changed my life once.
You've just been the same character?
So I've never, yeah. The only thing is, I'll tell you, the only difference for me now is when I go into Tesco's, people stop me for a selfie. Mm. I'm still the same person. I'll never change myself. And I've got a serious business now, a serious, serious business that we actually are a competitor to the big brands now. They don't like us because we are selling what they sell for 2-3 grand for 400-500 quid, and they can't compete. Because we haven't got all these big showrooms. We haven't got these £1 million a year TV adverts. We have got me on social media and my team who are the team. I swear to God, I don't say all the time, but without my staff, I ain't got my business. And I've got the best team around me and they work so hard And without them, I ain't got nothing. So I owe, as much as I owe the apprentice, I owe to the people that got around me as well, working with me to build where we got to. You know what I mean?
What makes a good salesman, Tom?
Likeability, positivity, and give the customer what they want. You know, like if you walk in to buy a red shirt and someone tries selling you a blue shirt, I don't want that, mate. You know what I mean? But if someone's got a red shirt that you want and they talk you, that's it. You know, it's giving the customer what they want, giving them. I've spoke so much, my throat's gone dry. I've got one now. I'll put it in a cup to look posh. It's only tap water, ain't even a bottle of water. I just filled it up in the tap earlier. Yeah, it's
do you get a dry mouth a lot with talking?
Don't shut up, do I? That'll mug a mouth. Yeah, all the time. I honestly, one thing I do drink, I must drink about 10 bottles of water a day or 10 glasses of water a day, more.
What? You must be pissing for fun then.
Yeah, when I get in the pub.
Is it waterbed yourself?
That's what fills them up. But now, see, with the mattresses, we're taking this to a next level now. Like, we're a proper, at first it was a little bit like two blokes in a van driving around. We're taking other manufacturing plants now. Like, we've got warehouses, 10,000 full of mattresses. We're delivering all over the country within 48 hours. We're giving a product. We're making everything in the UK and we're giving a product that people can afford. I believe that everyone should be able to have the top stuff. Whether you earn £300 a week or £3,000 a week, yeah, in my book, we're all the same. We're all cut from the same cloth. We all go to work. We want to enjoy it and we want the best things in life. Now, why should these premium products bring such money? I'm happy to work, and that's what I'm doing. I'm physically working skinny, but making sure everyone eats at the same time and offering products that I'm not a piss taker. Do you know what I mean?
And it's just. None of these big companies ever come in yet and try and offer you a big deal to try and take you away.
We've had someone try and buy our range and say, look, we want to be the sole distributor and we want to sell it this much. And I said, bollocks. Like, and they said, well, you're going to sell. I said, how many drink you sell a week? And they went, probably about 90. And I said, well, I sell 300. So no, and I'm not putting my prices up because that ruined. And they wanted to take the manufacturing abroad. I said, no, I'm about making the UK. Like, I support UK people. I support jobs in the UK. I support people in the UK. I don't want my prices to go up. And that's me, you know what I mean? I'm passionate about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Where do you go from here then? You just stay in the UK or do you take it Europe, global, yourself?
The world's the oyster, you know? I'm more or less a household brand now, but I want to have a bed in everyone's ass. But there's something really exciting I'm working on because I can't stop burping now. What's happening to me? I'm burping. I've done a couple of cheeky fart diving. I'm building the Bosch brand and we are different products coming out. And we're all about offering premium products at prices people can afford. I want people to have luxury items so everyone can afford them. And my new thing, and this is, no one else knows about this apart from you today, yeah, is I'm bringing out the Bosch driver for golf. And
it's totally night and day from a mattress to a golf club.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happened. So I ain't a very good golfer, but I love it. And all my mates got right into it and I thought I'd start playing. And they've gone, Tom, you've got to go and get a set of clubs. So I've got my old granddad's set, which is 20 or 30 years old. I play with him and I'm all right. I'm okay. I can hit the ball a long way. But I went to go and buy a driver and I've walked in a pro shop and they was like £500-600. And he's going, yeah, this one helps you do that. This one helps you do this. And I went, mate, like, what is a good one for me that goes a long way and straight? Well, this one here and what you got to do is get it done. Then you get it. And I thought, what? Mate, I just want to buy it. What one can I buy? He went, yeah, what, you buy this one and then you got to come back and have it fitted. And I was like, that's right, the one I can just buy. He went, well, unless you want to buy like an F one. What do you mean? Like, I want to. So then I thought, I've done the same things, what I've done with the mattresses, what I've done with the pillars. I thought, well, this is nonsense. I want a no-nonsense driver. I want a driver that you can walk into the shop and say, what's the best driver in here that ain't going to cost me an arm and a leg that's ready to go so I can pick it up, buy it and play with it? And we've spoke to the big manufacturers. We've got it designed. We've got it created. And it will be ready to sell within the next month. It's called the Bosch driver and it's just no nonsense. It is the biggest legally allowed head you can have on a driver. It's fully titanium. It's got the biggest sweet spot on the market. It's been specially developed to give you straighter, longer, further hitting ability without it going all over the gaff. It's got a shaft that's perfect for whether you've got a 30 handicap or a pro. It's the no-nonsense, and it's less than half price, less than half the price of all these big brands.
Bosch.
Bosch. And I can't wait for it.
Fair play, yeah.
And that's it. And I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
With products, and I'm bringing this is what Bosch is all about.
Do these ideas just come into your mind when you walk into a shop and you think he's fucking overcharging, and then you take that product and try and get it cheaper?
Yeah,
that's the best way. See the entrepreneurial skills. It's just whether people, even the drug dealers, high end drug dealers, if they put that into whether it's selling fucking handkerchiefs or cups, they've got those skills to then make it successful in a positive way. Where does the name Bosch come from?
I've always said Bosch. Like, you hit a good golf shot, Bosch. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, look, I've just got it down, Bosch. We've always said it. But when it came on the show and they started saying Bosch, my dad went, I've been saying that since the 80s, you prick. That's what he said. But yeah, I've just turned Bosch into my brand. Like, and I'm just offering products that people can afford. It's the brand. Bosch is the brand, and we're going to keep.
Send me all the links we can put in the description for people to get these golf clubs, get these mattresses,
Fantastic,
everything. Let's touch on fatherhood.
Oh, mate.
How does that change the man?
Mate, my little boy, I could start crying talking about him. Like, he's just well to me. We had little Henry last November.
It was a dodgy bus, was it not?
Yeah, mate, scary. Yeah. It was scary. So the thing, what's the old thing that goes out the belly button?
Yeah.
Bilical cord. Got wrapped around his neck 3 or 4 times, and they sit. And so it was during lockdown as well. Like, it was, I've gone in the hospital, and this doctor come in, mate, this lady, mate. I'd give her the world, because she went, Tom, now I'm not going to tell Sinead this, so it's up to you if you want to tell her, but the baby's in distress. It's wrapped around his neck. He can't breathe, basically. We need to get him out now. There's no, like, it's coming out now. All right, they went, Tom, just go in there and hold her hand. And I just looked, and she went, it's going to be all right. And I was getting a bit emotional talking about it. And I went, all right, sat there, held her hand. She went, what did she say? I went, nothing. She went, not going to be long now. He's coming out. Don't worry, it's all right. I'm eating Percy pigs. Wayne looking. Yeah. Right. And also, these doctors are fantastic, absolutely fantastic. They got him out, and he was all purple, bless him, like a little alien. And he was all right, and they went, 1, 2, 3, bang. And then nothing happened. And I was like, oh my God, is he all right? And they just sort of done something to him, and he just went, meh. And I went, oh, thank fuck for that. Like, and then they put little Henry on Sinead, and I just looked at his little face, and I went, love you. Like, and I gave him a little kiss. Like, he was all covered in blood. Oh, it's like, worth it, brilliant. Like, it's like, what? Listen, childbirth is like watching your favourite pub burn down.
That's one way to put it.
But it, mate, and yeah, because I get up most mornings. I get up. I'm up at 4 a.m. nearly every day. Go in the warehouse, come back, go to the gym, go to the office, go to the. I'm an early bird. So, and Henry's quite an early baby. So what I love is every single morning I can hear him little wriggling his cot, and that's like my cue to get up at 4 o'clock. And he goes, so excited to see him, and give him a little cuddle, give him a kiss, like, give him a snack, and I go off to work. It's just the best fit. And it's made me think twice about what I'm doing. Like, even little things, I'm a bloke, and I'd be in a pub at 1 a.m. and say, come on, I'll be like, oh, like, you know what I mean? I'll be back in 10 minutes, and if I ain't, read it again in half hour. Like, send it, you know? But it's made me sort of think about my life a lot. And since Henry's come, my business has built a lot because I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave something that my little boy ain't going to be knocking out. I don't want him to be landing a pull-out little bed in the front. You know what I mean? I want him to have everything. And he left that, you know? And I love being a dad. It's made me a better person, really, James.
But I think you just being in your son's life, he would have a good life anyway, no matter if you were sitting in a one-house bed.
Of course.
You've learnt this trade from, coming from fuck off, coming from that, the broken home when the mum and dad split up, to then grafting consistently, you've worked relentless to get to where you are. So that's for anybody watching, it shows hard work does pay off, but it doesn't end there. I'm the same. People always tell me how successful, how well I'm doing, how, and I think
you are smashing it.
Yeah, I am. But I don't feel as if for the levels that I'm going to go, I want to be the best on the planet. I ain't fucking around, mate. Yeah. I'm working consistently and relentlessly to be the biggest and the best. But I always question, why is that? Why do I do that though? Is that to keep busy so I don't have to sit in my own methods of thoughts?
Yeah.
So I'm constantly on the go. But when you have kids, everything I do is to leave a legacy. Like back in the day, I was drinking, drugs, gambling. I fucking done it all. But that's because I was lonely. That's because I was insecure. But now I've got drive. I've got vision to then... At the start, it's always a hard. The first 2 or 3 years is always a hard because you think, what the fuck is the point? But then the wheels start going into motion. Yeah. You think, okay, 100%. I've got something. And then the greed kicks in because I'm a greedy bastard. I want more and more and more. I'm not just enjoying what I have because I'm constantly thinking on the next earner, the next guest, the more viewers, it's consistent. So now that you've got the sun in place, now that you've got everything, you're happier. How hard is that then to then cut out the spending this extra couple of hours in the pub watching the football when you know, okay, my son's at home? That your whole outlook of life
changes.
We only
go out 6 times a week now. No, I'm just bringing everyone with me, mate. Like, Emmy's coming out with me if I go out. My missus is coming out with me. I've always been like that. And I have curbed the spending because we're doing all right now. But what we earn, I reinvest. You ask anyone that works for me, they are very well paid, very well looked after. We always...
Dom, is that true?
Yes, it is.
Why
do you do that?
Mate, because... Yeah, mate, look, it's...
So it's not just all bravado in front of the cameras. No, you're the exact same. I spoke to you off cameras. For me, you're the same character on and off, and I'm the same on it. It's just, there's no fucking mask, there's no bullshit. Listen, I'm here to make a crust. I have an agenda to be successful. So every guest that comes on, I'm using, but they're also using because it's a win-win. Same as yourself. Yeah. That's the hard thing though, because there's so many two-faced bastards out there. Like, people have got one face for social media, then another in person, and that's where I think the world is becoming confused.
Same the whole way through. I enjoy my life. I look after. If you're my friend, you're my friend. Like, I look after you, and I'm bringing everyone on this journey with me. Like, this is a journey for me. I don't know where it's going to end up. We're going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if I can help you, I will. And that is me, you know? And look, if I fuck up, which I do sometimes, you know, I always fuck up. I've ordered stock before and thought, no, what am I going to do? But that's because I've been such a, my team will go, don't worry, Tom, we'll do this with it. We'll do that with it. You know, I'm a great believer of you treat people how you want to be treated. Whether you're someone that works part-time here and there, or you're the big CEO, whatever, you're the same to me. We all drink in the same pub. We all drink from the same glass. You know, we all eat from the same dinner table. It's one big family of me. You know, it's one big family. We all work together. We have fun. And we just enjoy the journey.
Yeah. What's the rest of the plans for the future then? You've got the golf clubs coming
Global.
Out.
Global.
Yeah. Many brands
I'm going to keep bringing the brands out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep supporting the UK small businesses. I'm not about all the big firms. I know it sounds, but no, that's not my game. I'm going to keep it as products that are a fortune, that ain't when you're buying from me. I'm going to keep my team tight. I'm going to keep my family. I'm going to keep going it, but keep building it up until we are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Mr. Sugar must be proud of you.
He's all right, Lord Sugar. I talk to him every now and then. Yeah. He's a lovely man. He's a lovely man, to be fair. Yeah.
Is he Tottenham, your West Ham?
He's unlucky. He's what it is. But
So you've done all the, mate, you're on TV fucking all the time now, man. Celebrity Chef?
Celebrity MasterChef, done Celebrity MasterChef, done 8 out of 10 cats. Mm-hmm.
They're good guys.
Oh, mate, they're...
I know, who's the boy with the teeth?
Rob Beckett.
I seen his fucking video after England, he was sitting down a lane eating I think it was a KFC out behind the police station, but I've seen the videos when they say
he's a blinder, he's a nice bloke. Like, Jimmy Carr.
He's a funny bastard.
When I done him on the telly, he got left speechless. Hmm. I done the sales pitch to him, I do that, what would you give that? He didn't know what to say, and he actually said, I've never not known what to say. Uh-huh. He's a mate, Jimmy Carr. All these big celebrities, they're blinders, mate. You get the odd one that's...
A wanker, yeah, but you get that everywhere in life.
Most people, I have learned that though. A lot of people that you see on the telly, when you meet them in real life, ain't nice people. Yeah, on the thing, they're like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I've learned, I'm going to learn that. You know, I'll take it when I find them. Like, I go, oh, mate, I'm a massive fan. And like, don't touch me. I'm like, all right. It's yeah. Like, yeah, damn it.
It's definitely when you get your hand in their balls, though.
Just kicked your camera. I was squeezing their nuts over.
Yeah, but listen, brother, for anybody maybe, because you're a bubbly guy, you've got the head screwed on, you're reaching for the stars, you're thriving. But again, we're greedy bastards, we want more. But for anybody that's maybe, have you ever struggled in life? Mentally?
No. I'm very headstrong. I've always been like that. I've never mentally struggled. But what I will say is I've noticed it a lot, especially on my social media. Like my DMs are always open. Like amount of people I spoke to. I'm not just saying this. I've not got millions of followers, but I love my followers on social media. We get hundreds of messages, hundreds and hundreds, and it's mental. The amount of followers we got, the amount of messages we get is ridiculous. We've got two people on it all day. I take time of day, people go, Tom, I'm struggling. I go, send me your phone number, I give them a call. Come, mate, like, they go, what's your, I go, yeah, look, listen, I've done it loads of times. I always get asked business advice, and one bit of advice I do say to people is, look, always be the hardest working person in the room. But one thing I do is I am up at 4 a.m. I will work all day. Like, I sometimes don't get home from work till midnight. Do you know what I mean? But you keep working harder than what you get paid to do. Eventually, you'll get paid more than what hours you do. You just got to keep going and keep moving forward. And even when you get put back, mate, the amount of things that I've done in the past, thought that's going to work, I never gave up. I never, ever, ever gave up. Like, and now I'm comfortable. I'm not where I want to be. I'm still at the start of the slope, but I'm on the slope on the way up. And any bit of advice is just keep going. You have your dreams. You see your dream. You go and get it because you can do it. I'm walking, talking proof, yeah, that you can go from doing nothing to having everything. And I'm still not finished. So I just, yeah, anyone that wants to reach out, send us an email, send us a message, I'll talk to you. And I promise you, I will.
But what age are you, 30? How old are you?
30, I am, yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Man, I look a lot. I had nutwheel pipe round wrong, but that's what it was. It done me, James.
This is only the beginning, mate. That's a great age, I believe, to shoot into the stratosphere. I'm 37, so I'm a bit more experienced.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were a lot older than that.
Cancel Rose Matheses, but no links in the description after this. Brother, for coming on today and telling your story, listen, thoroughly enjoyed that. You've got a great energy, good guy, and no doubt we'll be friends in the future. Take care.
Thank you very much.
You can also watch my podcast on my YouTube channel. The link is in the bio if you'd like to subscribe. You can follow me on my social media platforms to see who my next guest is. Follow me on Facebook at JamesEnglish11, Twitter, JamesEnglish0, Instagram, JamesEnglish2. You can also download these podcasts on iTunes or Spotify.